What?
Bee ponds really
make you break out in hives?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay.
Well,
have a seat, Charlie. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too. I think I need a Bible.
You forgot a Bible?
Yes, I don't have one.
Somebody chuck a Bible, please. Any Bible will do. There's nice catch. That's good. You're a defensive back, right?
Yeah, I'm a safety.
So good. So I saw you broke on it at the highest point. I like that. And then you caught it, which is amazing. Most defensive backs have hands like bricks.
Yeah.
But that's impressive. You must have been a receiver at one point.
I was a receiver.
Okay.
At one point.
All right. Very good. So, Charlie, tell us a little bit about yourself. There might be some people here who have no clue who you are, why you're here. So let me explain first. This is part of our Youth Summer Sermon Series. And what we do in Youth Group Bible Study during the year is we give our youth some type of challenge, to something to search for in Scripture. And we study that, and then we do sort of a time of preparation for this. And then I have each of the youth come up who are willing or crazy enough to do it and present with me what they've learned. And so that's what you're here for today. And your name is?
I'm Charlie Whalen.
Charlie Whalen. And you have a sort of a family connection to Hope Church. Do you want to try to explain that to everyone?
Well, before the new church was a thing, we were around for quite a while.
Yes. And two of your aunts are members here, and like all of your cousins.
All of my cousins.
Yes, grew up here at Hope. And
yeah.
So you've been kind of hanging around Hope and coming to youth group, which is awesome. You were part of our summer sermon series last year as well. And so if you come to youth group, you know Charlie. If you don't come to youth group, you might not know Charlie as well. But I'm glad you're here. I enjoyed our time together and your insights. And so what stage of life are you in, sir?
I am in the teenage state of life.
Teenage stage of life. Me too, actually. But that's just mentally.
Mentally.
Not physically. No, I'm nowhere near there. So what part of teenage life are you most, well, where are you at this point?
I am 15 years old. And I am a sophomore in high school.
Sophomore in high school. And you extracurriculars?
I do motocross, which is kind of like an extracurricular. And then
it is.
Football, which is in school.
Yeah. In Texas, football is actually
it's
curricular.
A big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a class. As it should be. Yes.
Yes. Agreed. As it should be.
Do you have any pets?
I have 3 dogs, and we don't know how many cats at this point. There's a lot of cats.
Is your mom like the crazy cat lady that has like 30 cats and you can't keep up with them all?
Well, we had one, and then we got 2, and then now there's more showing up at the house.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We don't know. We don't know where they're showing
enough.
Up.
They just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There's a lot of chatter back in the family section back there. So are you a cat or a dog person?
I am a dog person.
You're a dog person. Very good. And your future plans when you get out of high school, if you ever get out of high school, what are you thinking about doing then?
Well, I was thinking about getting a business degree because there's kind of like a lot of stuff you could do with that.
There is.
You could take it many ways. So I was going to get a business degree, or if I don't want to do that, I was going to go into engineering.
Okay. Business or engineering or both.
What or the
heck?
Both.
Yep. Okay. And Beatles or Johnny Cash?
Definitely Johnny Cash.
Oh. 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 There is hope for the future of our country. Thank you. And do you have a favorite Johnny Cash song?
It has to be A Boy Named Sue.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right. I can't argue with that. I could throw out like Folsom Prison Blues because that line, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Yeah.
Oh, that's strong. Okay. I'm kind of excited, but hey, Anything else we need to know about Charlie? What's your favorite dessert?
Probably chocolate mousse cake.
Chocolate? That's very specific.
Yes.
I like that. Who makes the best chocolate mousse cake?
Well, usually we don't make it at home.
Okay.
But it's like when you go out to a restaurant, you get it, it's like really hot, and they got the fudge on the side.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Killing me, man.
That's my jam.
All right. I love it. Not sure what's going on back there. Your mom makes it?
Yes, and my mom makes it, but not all the time. It's a special thing.
We're just going to keep going. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. So in our study, in youth group Bible study, we had all the kids looking at the same passage, which was out of the second chapter of the book of Acts. And this is the description of the very first church that gathered after Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father and commissioned his disciples to be the apostles of the early church. This is the first description of that early church. Will you read for us Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, please? Yes. Oh.
Oh.
We have some pictures of the fearless Charlie Whalen. There's his smoke can. You can actually see actual smoke coming out of the actual chimney there. I'm wearing thick jeans and closed-toed shoes, I believe. So there's some bees on one of the trays or whatever you call that.
I did end up smashing one of the bees on accident.
All right. There's some honey on a putty knife that was probably used for paint yesterday. lead-based paint. There's your mom. Oh, look at you being generous. See? Giving his mom the honey. All right. And there's Giselle sticking her tongue out. Nice freeze. Mm-hmm. Nice freeze. That's excellent. All right. So now that we've done that, so our hive, we put a hive on the property for the purpose of this series. I don't know what Jimmy's going to do with it after that. Hopefully you'll leave it there. I don't know. So our youth each week have been going out and opening up the hive with Jimmy. Kind of checking it out, see how it works, tasting some honey, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they're lucky. Some weeks there's no tasting allowed.
I did get to taste the honey. It was really good.
Yeah, it is. It's shockingly good. So this is all sort of an analogy and comparison between this description of the early church and our understanding of how a beehive works. Mm-hmm. And we're drawing parallels and making connections. So read that passage for us, please, sir. Acts 2, 42 through 47.
Okay. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had belongings and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. In homes they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Do I stop there?
One more line, one more verse.
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Excellent. So when you were asked to pick an aspect of this passage to focus on, what were the two things that stood out to you?
It had to be when they talked about giving their belongings to people that were in need.
Okay. And you had also talked about, and what I enjoyed about our time together and your sort of looking at these passages that we're going to look at was your ability to make connections between different parts of passages back to each other. And so you had first pointed out, like, that last verse, 47, where it says the Lord had was adding to their number every day those who were being saved, right?
Yeah.
And you made the connection that the reason that early church was growing was because
of them helping the people that were in need.
Yes. And I thought that was a really cool observation that the last verse ties back into a previous verse. Like if you want to see the fruit of generosity, which is in verse 45, look at verse 47. It's the growth of the church that came out of that generosity. And so we're going to focus on that call to be generous as Christians today. That's kind of the theme we're going to build on. And what did you see in the life of a beehive that represents this idea that we are to be generous?
Well, in the life of a beehive, if every bee was selfish, the hive wouldn't go anywhere.
Right.
It would be like one bee gets all of the pollen for one bee, and he's like, I'm not sharing with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So only that one bee would prosper, and the rest would die.
Okay. Yeah, and bees have these stomachs that they'll go out to a flower, and they'll suck up all the nectar, and they'll cover their bodies in pollen, and then they come back to the hive, and they will actually regurgitate mm-hmm. that nectar, sometimes to their neighbor, right, to their fellow worker bee, and other times they'll dump it into one of the cells. And they will only eat
a small portion
what they need.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not like that.
Yeah. No, I'm not either.
No, I eat more than I need.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So, we're looking at this aspect of bee life that bees by nature talk about them, how generous they are.
Well, what do you mean by nature?
By naturally, bees are generous.
Yeah, because naturally, if bees were selfish, they wouldn't get anywhere.
Right, the hive would.
Yeah, the hive would just die.
Do very well, and then that would be bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you made a couple of observations under the heading, "In what ways do bees teach us to be generous?" That I thought were good observations, good applications. Take us through those.
Well, when you're in the life of a bee, it's not all about you. It's about your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're also in the life of a bee, you work together to support everyone.
Okay, good. Which is something you saw in that passage and you clearly see at work in a beehive. And then you had a fun bee fact for us.
Yes, I thought it was pretty funny. Bees can fly 50 miles an hour on like that's their max speed, and humans on average run 10 miles an hour. So
okay,
you can't outrun a bee, and it's kind of like
why are you running from the bee?
You can't run from a bee. They're gonna get you.
All right, and so apparently your cousin Allie
yeah.
can only run 14 miles an hour or less mm-hmm. at max mm-hmm. speed.
Yeah,
right. And I think yeah. So and we looked this up. Usain Bolt, the Olympic sprinter, the fastest man in the world, can actually run 20-something miles an hour, which is crazy fast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he could outrun a bee.
He can outrun a bee. But
yeah, so if the bees are coming for Usain Bolt, it's probably smart for him to take off.
Yeah.
Not so much for me, right? It's not going to help.
It's
just
going to,
like,
help.
Yeah, okay. So, and then you had a great little application point there that I thought was hilarious and good. Give us that.
What, the last part?
Yes.
So there's this joke a long time ago, and it was like, why are you running from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
So since humans can only go 10 miles an hour, bees go 15, it's like, why are you running from the Lord? He's going to catch you.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yes.
You can try to run from God. You can try to hide, but
he's going to get you.
Why are you running?
Yeah, why are you running?
Good. Okay. So this idea that we are to be generous, we're going to look at a passage that it's just three verses long. This is the one out of Colossians. But each of those verses comes back to a similar theme, which I was blessed by the way, like your choice of passages and your observation that if we are to be generous people, generous Christians, it begins with an acceptance of how generous God has been to us. It begins with our gratitude. And so the passage you chose is going to hit that theme of thankfulness like three times in three verses. It's kind of cool. Read that Colossians passage for us, and then we'll talk about it.
And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Good. And so our ability to be generous people begins with the generosity of God. And if we're going to reflect his generosity, we first must be
generous and grateful.
Grateful. Good. So take us through verse 15 under this call to be grateful begins with what concept?
Peace.
Peace. Yes, that we're to be at peace with God, with ourselves as a result of being at peace with God, and then with others.
Yeah.
And this verse actually tells us how we are to find peace. Will you take us through those, the kind of the breakdown of that peace that we're, that this passage is talking about?
Well, you have to have peace through Christ.
Correct. How does that work?
So it kind of works like if you are not at peace with Christ, you can't be at peace in general. Like if you're, let's say you're not at peace with someone, how are you going to be peaceful the rest of your day?
Right. Yeah. That's going to
just going to
roll out into every aspect of your life. So the peace that the Bible is talking about, it comes through Christ. And where is it supposed to take root?
It's supposed to take root in your heart.
Okay. And it's so fascinating to me that, you know, in passages like this, it's talking about letting the peace of Christ rule, and it's very specific, in your heart.
Yeah, it doesn't say anywhere else.
It's right. It's not just something you read about in a book and you think about up here, like, oh, I'm supposed to be at peace. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole self, core of who you are. It's to emanate from there. And then this verse and each of the other verses in this passage ends with what?
Counting your blessings.
Counting your blessings. Be thankful. Yes.
Yes.
And it's something we don't do often enough. When you think about those blessings in your life, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, I think about, like, in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think about how I'm blessed every day with, I get food on the table, and I get to have water, and I wait to go out and get clothes that not everyone else can get. So
yeah,
it's kind of a blessing in my heart that I get to do that.
And you should just say, your mom.
Yeah, I don't pay for that.
No, but you're thankful for her.
Yes, I'm very thankful for my mom.
And your dad doesn't matter. Yeah, but you got to say mom, or you might not get lunch today. Just kidding.
Well, dad does make really good lunch, so.
Oh, good. All right. What day of the week is that? I'll be there.
Okay.
Okay. So this idea, this repeated idea in this passage that you picked to start with is that we're to be grateful. It begins with being at peace with Christ in our hearts, counting our blessings, actively thinking about the things that we're thankful for. And then verse 16, take us through what that verse says.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God.
Okay. So that first verse, 15, was a call to be at peace through Christ in our hearts and to count our blessings. Verse 16 is a call to be
at peace with God.
No, next one down.
Oh, sorry. It's about letting the word of Christ dwell in you.
Yes, about being in the word. And there's this implication that if we are engaging God's word, we will be what? Take us through those, what flows out of that.
Well, it'll help you grow.
Yes.
In yourself. And it'll help you grow in the word.
Good. So that growing, that we are a people who will be growing through our engagement of God's word, and then this idea that we're to let that kind of
soak in,
and we're to absorb that grace that comes through God's word. And then in the same way that a sponge doesn't, you want water to soak into the sponge, you also want it to
flow out
of the sponge. And so what God puts into us through his word,
he wants us to let it flow out to other people.
Exactly. And so it's a great analogy for, like, the bees are going out and they're collecting pollen and nectar and they're bringing it back and giving it away. Mm-hmm. Right? They're not keeping it to themselves. They only take what they need.
Yeah.
All right. And then verse 17 in that same passage tells us to be what?
It's about to be in what you say.
Okay. And you actually, when we were talking about this initially, you used the word harmony, which I thought was really a good observation. You were like, well, this is telling us that we need to be in harmony with what God is doing.
Yeah.
Like, well, our lives should be in sync with that, in harmony with God's will, with his word, with his call. And so this idea that to be a grateful person, we have to be at peace, we have to be in the word, and we have to live in harmony with the Son of God, with Jesus. And then there are aspects of that this verse fleshes out for us. Take us through those. We're to be in harmony with Jesus in
what we say.
What we say.
And in what we do.
And in what we do. And then it comes back again to this same idea, this sort of triple hit that this passage gives us.
Of giving. Giving thanks.
Yes, that we are to be people who give thanks on a regular basis. That's to be kind of part or the heart of who we are. So then as you were looking at that passage, you found another passage that kind of takes us to the generosity call a little more directly. But first, let me just A+ to you on the Colossians passage, because it doesn't immediately express the idea of generosity, but it lays the groundwork for what we need in order to be generous. And I was impressed with your ability to see that and sort of analyze deeper than just what's on the page. And so now we're going to look at this passage from 2 Corinthians, which does speak to specifically this call to be giving. So read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 for us, please.
Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Good. So this passage gets to the action of generosity. So I would say the first passage you chose kind of gets at the heart of generosity, that we are a thankful people. And then this passage really talks, kind of fleshes out our generosity. Take us through what you see in this call to be giving.
Well, it doesn't say to be giving spiritually. It says to be giving materially.
Mm-hmm.
So that means giving, like, if you have extra stuff, like how the bees had extra honey,
mm-hmm.
they only took a small portion and they gave the rest away.
Good. All right. And so if let's say you give $100 to a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Right. And you worked hard for that $100, because I'm sure your dad makes you work hard for things?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You give it away generously. Does that mean God owes you $300?
No.
Why not? It says if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully.
Well, just because you gave him $100 doesn't mean you're going to get $300 back.
Well, what are you going to get back?
Well, you can get blessings back.
Okay.
You could get good. You can get peace back.
Peace, growth. Yeah. Okay, good. So how is it that God wants us to give? Like, what's the posture of our giving?
Well, he wants us to give not because we want to give. He wants us to give because we feel that in our hearts someone else could need what we are giving.
Okay. So we're to give not because we want to get.
Yes.
But because it's the heart of God to give. So we give without expecting anything in
yes.
return. We give materially, as you said, but we benefit
spiritually.
Spiritually, yes. And so, you know, every time that God talks about the kind of what our return is in this Christian life, it's not necessarily material; it's spiritual, as you said. And those are the benefits you can't really put a price on.
Yeah.
Right.
So, priceless.
Exactly. So we give without expecting anything in return, and then this repetition of theme in verse 7, we saw this in the other passage, in the Colossians passage, the same idea. But where is our giving supposed to come from?
It's supposed to come from your heart.
From the heart, good. And there were this concept in verse 7, so just, you know, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that our giving should be done how?
It should be giving as if you're not supposed to. So you're giving like it's a freedom.
Yes. It's not something you have to do. It's something you want to do and that you're actually excited about.
Yeah.
Yes. So to give from the heart in freedom and in joy.
And in joy.
Okay. And then this other aspect, verse 8, that we are to be giving, you see that, and so you had other great observations here. We were just reading over this passage, and you were like, wow, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
This is a really strong statement.
Yeah.
Read verse 8 for us again, please.
God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may be abound in every good work.
Yes.
That's pretty big.
It's very big, right?
Yeah.
And so this aspect of our generosity, it flows from where?
Well,
it flows out of
your heart.
Out of our heart and
to others.
To others, and I'm going to go with the beginning of verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. That it is out of his grace that our generosity flows from our heart to others in joy, like all these things together. But this is where this whole idea of abundance is coming from, is how abundant God's grace is. And then when we open that spigot in our own hearts and let it flow through us, that's just like pure blessing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So all that God has done for you, what are you supposed to do with that?
Well, you're supposed to take it and keep it in your heart, and you're supposed to give it to other people.
Okay. So are you supposed to keep it all to yourself?
No.
No. So you're supposed to look at your notes. You came up with this.
Well, you're supposed to flip it around. Like, you take a small portion, and then you flip it around, and then, like a fountain, spill it out to other people.
Good. Yeah. That God wants us to be this conduit of his grace, that it does flow into us, and then we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. It's supposed to come pouring out.
Yeah.
And then your closing line there?
Be good to others.
Be good to others. Another B.
Another B joke.
Yes. I mean, we weren't just winging it.
I'm going to get hives, Tom.
What's that?
I'm going to get hives.
You're going to get hives. Oh, it's okay, honey. All right. Should we close in prayer? Because I'm pretty sure right now I just realized we forgot to open in prayer.
Yes, we should close in prayer.
All right. So we should probably close in prayer. Would you like to dial or hang up this prayer?
I will hang up.
You'll hang up? All right. Father God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the example that these little bees are to us as to how we are to live in as members of your church, that we are to be hardworking and generous and giving, that we are to be thankful for all that you have given to us, and that we are to turn around then and give that away to others. And I just pray, Father, that as we go forth into the week ahead, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to be people who are generous, who are thankful and giving and a blessing to be around, and that you would use that blessing to grow your church, to spread your love, to extend your grace in this world. And we thank you again for this time in your word, and we close in prayer by saying,
be good.
Be good. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. Thank you, Charlie. All right, man.
Tom.
Good job.